We come to this idea. It's been an interesting series for me as I anticipated and thought about closing out our ministry here at the church. This idea of God's love and all that that means. And it's a lot. It's a lot. And as we take time to look at that, it brings strength, I believe, and hope. And it brings an opportunity for us to love likewise. So today, God so loved that forgiveness. The condition of man is that of sin. We have Adam and Eve to thank for that. God didn't give them lots of instructions in the garden, but he did give them one. And as typical of children growing up, you know, we give them an instruction, and what happens? Yeah, oftentimes they say, oh no, I'm not going to do that. Adam and Eve, given an instruction. Well, and then enters Satan and that tempter who comes and is still tempting, saying, oh, God really doesn't mean that. That's not what the Bible really means. You can go ahead and do it. And of course, Adam and Eve succumbed to the temptation of Satan and disobeyed God and partook of that fruit, and sin was born. Sin, disobedience to God. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Just in case any of you out here think that you're good enough, that you don't need God's forgiveness, guess what? God tells us, no, that's not true, because all of us have sinned. And I think most of us, probably all of us, would admit to that, wouldn't we? That there are times when we know what God wants and we make other choices. So sin came into the world. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3 reads this way. The spirit that is work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Paul identifies passions of the flesh. It doesn't take long for us to look around to understand how Satan is using the passions of the flesh. These sexual kinds of realities that are part of our being that God placed in us and are good, and yet Satan has flipped it on its head and has put that in the place where we're tempted. Sorry to say that there have been too many pastors who have fallen to the passions of the flesh. I want to encourage you who are pastors here to remember that this is one of the places that Satan is going to attack you. For those of you who aren't ministers here, who are part of a congregation, pray for your pastors. This is one of Satan's primary targets and means by which he is destroying the message of the gospel in our world. Passions of the flesh, addictions that have come to so many that they struggle with in relationship to that part of who we are. Then Paul says, the desires of the body. Me Man, I love food. The desires of the body. I love to eat. You know, we have a man that brings donuts out here. And I try to be thankful and not eat any. But I love donuts. But again, one of those things that each one of us struggles with one way or another, I'm sure, the desires of the flesh and the body, that we have to think about how we respond to and what we do with. And then Paul says the desires of the mind, the intellect. God has created us as people with minds to use. And we have done that. I mean, just look around us. Look at the technology that is here. How has it come? It has come because God has given us the ability to think and understand and create. And yet there are ways in which people have taken this that God has given and have done things with it that should not be done. Those who have sought after power, those who have used their intellect to manipulate other people. Paul says, these are all challenges that we face, that we need to understand that are part of our lives that we must respond to in godly ways. Well, there has been sin. It has come into the world. There are consequences to sin. There are things that come as a result of sin in our lives. One of the things that comes was seen with Adam and Eve as they sinned. Remember what they did. They went and they hid. When God walked and came into the garden, they went and hid because of their guilt. They knew that they had done wrong. What happens when sin enters into our lives and relationships is that walls are built, that separation comes, that we don't have what we could have in relationship with God and one another. So sin has had its devastating effect in our lives, the consequences that are very real. James chapter 4, verse 4 reads this way, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Two words there that begin with E, and not one of those is angle. Enmity and enemy. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Are you wholly committed to the Lord God? Are you wholly committed to God? Or am I in an adulterous relationship with the world? Am I playing with this sensual stuff that's around me and not wholly committed to the Lord God? Paul says that's adulterous when we do that. And that brings enmity with God. That breaks that relationship. We become enemies of God. Have you ever thought of it that way? That those who are disobeying God are enemies of God. When I sin, I become an enemy of God. That's the sad part of it, isn't it? But, God so loved that forgiveness. John 3:16, we all know, the world knows John 3:16. Football games, they hold up that John 3:16. It'd be interesting to know how many people actually know what that means. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God so loves, has so loved, that he gave his one and only Son to bring redemption, forgiveness. I want to read from 1 John. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that... Now, one of the things I often say to our congregation is, those are two words we watch for, so that. So God's wanting to communicate something. So that what? It says, so that you will not sin. But, here's a but, okay? But if what? But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. God so loved that. God so loved that forgiveness. Jesus Christ. General Assembly, we're talking about the center, and we're talking lots about Jesus being the center. And here it is. This is the central piece of what makes us who we are as Christ followers, what gives us hope, what gives us a reason for living, what gives us a reason for becoming missionaries, what gives us a reason for being a business person who conducts your business according to God's truth, with righteousness, holiness, purity, that testifies to the world that I'm not just another piece of the world, but I'm one of God's children, and I've been redeemed. I've been forgiven. The blood of Jesus comes to cover us. The word propitiation for our sins is used in some translations. It means the perfect sacrifice. Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice for me, for my sin. As I think of God's forgiveness and think of all the passages that talk about that, as Jesus teaches that, I then come and I think about Jesus. As he went to the cross, I think one of the things that is so powerful in those moments of time as they brought Jesus to the cross, nailed him on the cross, are his last words. Those last statements that he made as he was hanging on that cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Do you know what you're doing? I have to confess there are times I don't. There are times that I find myself choosing things that I maybe should not, There are those times when I don't really know what I'm doing to my Father, my God, my Christ, my Savior. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God so loved, so loves, that he forgives. I don't know all of you today in terms of where you are spiritually, but I know there are times that in our congregation there are people here who don't know Jesus, who have not chosen to follow him. God says, you can. I love you. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. I'm going to forgive you. All you need to do is come. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And God so loved then that reconciliation. He reconciled us to himself. Remember, we've talked about that broken relationship, that enmity, that being an enemy of God. God reconciles us back to himself. God opens up the door for that relationship to again become what Adam and Eve experienced in the garden before their sin. That walking in the garden with Jesus. That wonderful, wonderful opportunity of sharing that intimate, intimate relationship with our Lord and our God. God so loved that he brought reconciliation. Here I want to read from Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 through 11. You see, at just the right time, just the right time, and when we listen to people's testimonies, how often does it happen that at just the right time, God shows up and speaks? At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, one might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. God so loves us. God loved past tense. God loves present tense and always. God wants to restore us into that relationship that Adam and Eve had before the fall. God wants us to realize the joy of that reconciled relationship, that presence with Jesus and with the Father. That can bring peace. A peace that passeth all understanding. A peace that isn't realized by the world, but a peace that you and I can have as children of the Father. Then Romans chapter 5, which we just read, talks about Jesus dying, talks about being justified by the blood, being saved from the wrath of God, being reconciled, no more enmity, in perfect relationship. God so loved us, that he showed us the way to reconciliation, which is forgiveness. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Put on Christ's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, As the Lord has forgiven you, you so also must forgive. Above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. God so loved that he has forgiven us to bring reconciliation between ourselves and God. God so loved us that he showed us what it takes to bring reconciliation in this world. Is there someone in your life that's not been forgiven by you yet? Is there someone with whom you have that enmity, who is an enemy? God shows us what it takes to bring reconciliation. Until there's reconciliation, there's going to be separation, there's going to be enmity, there are going to be enemies in our lives. God so loved that he forgave us, that we might have life, that we might have salvation, that we might be reconciled. And then it's for us to take that reality of reconciliation that we have with Christ and share it with our family members with whom we may not be reconciled. To share it with that neighbor who we just mowed part of his flowers off. You know what I'm talking about. God has given us a means by which we can, in some senses, bring the kingdom of God into this world now. The message of salvation is wonderful, it's powerful. Y'all, I don't know what I'd do without it. And it's now for me to share that with my world. I try to do that every opportunity I get. Preaching here is one thing, you know, preaching to the choir. But what do I do with that when I leave the church and enter my life in the world? That's the challenge God has for us. God so loved that he forgave and taught us to forgive so that our relationship with God and each other will go on without any enmity. We are reconciled. God's forgiven me. Thanks be to God. May I forgive those who I may feel like have wronged me. Lord, help me. Help us. We're going to close hymn, Such Love. As I was looking at hymns and songs, I thought this has to be a closing hymn for us today. Stand with me as we sing.